exempt from taxation, and anyway, you couldn't put a tax on knowledge. The patrician said you could. It was $200 per capita. If per capita was a problem, de capita could be arranged. The wizard said that the university had never paid taxes to the civil authority. The patrician said he was not proposing to remain civil for long. The wizard said, what about easy terms? The patrician said he was talking about easy terms. They wouldn't want to know about the hard terms. The wizard said that there was a ruler back in, it would be the century of the dragonfly, who had tried to tell the university what to do. The patrician could come and have a look at him if he liked. The patrician said that he would. He truly would. In the end, it was agreed that while the wizards, of course, paid no taxes, they would nevertheless make an entirely voluntary donation of, let's say, $200 per head, without prejudice, mutatis mutandis, no strings attached, to be used strictly for non-militaristic and environmentally acceptable purposes. It was this dynamic interplay of power blocks that made Ankh-Morpork such an interesting, stimulating, and above all bloody dangerous place in which to live. Many songs have been written about the bustling metropolis, the most famous, of course, being Ankh-Morpork, Ankh-Morpork, so good they named it Ankh-Morpork. But others have included Carry Me Away from Old Ankh-Morpork, I Fear I'm Going Back to Ankh-Morpork, and the old favourite, Ankh-Morpork Malady. Senior wizards did not often get out and about on what, Welcome to Ankh-Morpork, probably called the thronged highways and intimate byways of the city, but it was instantly obvious that something was wrong. It wasn't that cobblestones didn't sometimes fly through the air, but usually someone had thrown them. They didn't normally float by themselves. A door burst open and a suit of clothes came out, a pair of shoes dancing along behind it, a hat floating a few inches above the empty collar. Close behind them came a skinny man endeavouring to do with a hastily snatched flannel what normally it took a whole pair of trousers to achieve.
"You come back here!" he screamed as they rounded the corner. "I still owe $7 for you!"
A second pair of trousers scurried out into the street and hurried after them. The wizards clustered together like a frightened animal with 5 pointed heads and 10 legs, wondering who was going to be the first to comment.
"That's bloody amazing!" said the Arch-Chancellor.
Said the Dean, trying to imply that he saw more amazing things than that all the time, and that in drawing attention to mere clothing running around by itself, the Arch-Chancellor was letting down the whole tone of wizardry.
"Oh, come on. I don't know many tailors round here who'd throw in a second pair of pants for a $7 suit," said Ridcully.
"Oh," said the Dean.
"If it comes past again, try to trip it up so as I can have a look at the label."
A bedsheet squeezed through an upper window and flapped away across the rooftops.
"You know," said the lecturer in recent runes, trying to keep his voice calm and relaxed, "I don't think this is magic. It doesn't feel like magic."
The senior wrangler fished in one of the deep pockets of his robe. There was a muffled clanking and rustling, and the occasional croak. Eventually, he produced a dark blue glass cube. It had a dial on the front.
"You carry one of them around in your pocket?" said the Dean. "A valuable instrument like that?"
"What the, hell is it?" said Ridcully.
"Amazingly sensitive magical measuring device," said the Dean. "Measures the density of a magical field. A thermometer."
The senior wrangler proudly held the cube aloft and pressed a button on the side. A needle on the dial wobbled around a bit and stopped.
"See?" said the senior wrangler. "Just natural background, representing no hazard to the public."
"Speak up," said the Arch-Chancellor. I can't hear you above the noise."
Crashes and screams rose from the houses on either side of the street. Mrs. Evadne Cake was a medium, verging on small. It wasn't a demanding job. Not many people who died in Ankh-Morpork showed much inclination to chat to their surviving relatives. Put as many mystic dimensions between you and them as possible, that was their motto. She filled in between engagements with dressmaking and church work. Any church. Mrs. Cake was very keen on religion, at least on Mrs. Cake's terms. Evadne Cake was not one of those bead curtain and incense mediums, partly because she didn't hold with incense, but mainly because she was actually very good at her profession. A good conjurer can astound you with a simple box of matches and a perfectly ordinary deck of cards. If you would care to examine them, sir, you will see they are a perfectly ordinary deck of cards. He doesn't need the finger-nipping, folding tables and complicated collapsible top hats of lesser prestidigitators. And in the same way, Mrs. Cake didn't need much in the way of props. even the industrial-grade